Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
What is authority? Authority is delegated power.
Amen.
God has the power, He has the authority, and He gave it to you.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim give instructions on how to protect your children. God has given His power and authority to the believer to stand against the tactics of the enemy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our wonderful Billy Brim is back, and she's got some really good things for us. So don't miss any of the broadcasts while she's here.
Because we're on a mission.
We're on a mission.
We're on a mission to save the millennials.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, whatever that group covers, I don't know. But young people, let's say from...
But anybody can get in on it.
Anybody can get in on it. But we particularly, because I'm telling you right now, Satan's after them.
Yeah.
And we shared the story, which really got us on this mission, which happened in my family. I shared it on day one. Now, you need to go back and watch it and meet Gabe Stewart and his life, which began December 10th, 1991, and ended August, well, the earth part of it. Of course, he's on living on in heaven, August 29th, 2016. And though he was raised in a good Christian home and he went to a Christian school, and it seems to me, I don't know everything about it, but it seems to me, Mike, he might have lost his footing in college life and in fraternity. I don't know that for sure, but I do know that somewhere along the way, he became addicted to alcohol. And the night, police say it, the parents say it, the night that his spirit left earth and his body died, it was not suicide. It was a total accident. And he himself was addicted to alcohol. And sometimes you don't know that when you start drinking, they tell me. I don't know. I never had a drink in my life except in communion when I'm overseas, you know, and they serve you real wine. But my mother, my dad was an alcoholic when Mom married him. And she said, now, his family was very well-to-do. Their name was Combs. And his grandfather had a cotton gin in every little town in Oklahoma and had a son running it. And my dad's dad was killed in a cotton gin accident when daddy was just 2 weeks old. And so when he grew up, he grew up in a Pentecostal home. When he grew up, he called it the Dirty 30s. And he got involved with alcohol and became an alcoholic. And my mother, they only knew each other like 3 weeks when they got married. And she was holding down a job. It was during the Depression. And her mother had a job, a good job, but she had an accident and had to go to the hospital, had an operation, I think. So my mother held that job down for her because you could not have a job unless you were the head of a home. If that was Depression days. You know, they wanted the jobs. There were many men that didn't have jobs that were heads of homes. So my Grandma Hibden, she had a job. And when she had to go to the hospital, mother held it down till she got out. Now, if mother had, if they'd found out she was married, she would have lost that job. So she met daddy and married him. At first, she did not even want to let us know it because she married him so quickly. It was for somewhere between 3 and 6 weeks she knew him. And they got married secretly. And so he would come from Coweta, Oklahoma, to Muskogee, where she lived and worked, and visit her on weekends. And he came one weekend, and he was acting so silly. And he took her out, and he said, I wanted to buy you a blouse. And he took her to a store, you know, and he acted so goofy in that store. And she had never seen a drunk man in her life, and he was drunk. And so, long story short, she got that boy, she got him born again, And I never saw him drunk. He was baptized, and my mother was baptized when she was pregnant with me. But all of his uncles, that side of the family, they were very well-to-do. But they all knew how to do business. But they were alcoholics. And mother said, I have read, you know, that it can be in the genes somewhere, you know. And she said, don't you ever take a drink. Because you might be the one, you know, that could be the one
that tell
just
you that?
Tipped you over. Yeah. So I never did. I never took a drink, you know. And I don't know, you know, there might have been something in his genetic buildup. I don't know what. But he became addicted to alcohol. But I want to get you this straight, and I didn't tell it on like I should have on Monday when we talked about it. And you'll want to go back to Roku and watch us as we begin and how Gabe's life has been a catalyst to us going after this generation. And I didn't make it quite clear. He was truly born again. When he was a little kid, he was in church, and they gave an altar call. And his mother said, Cindy said, he raised his hand and he said, I want Jesus. He was a real outgoing young guy, you know. And so then lately in his life, his dad had had two conversations with him. And they talked a long time in which he assured his father that he believed in Jesus and his salvation. And he was born again, truly born again. But now here's the thing. Man is a spirit.
Yes.
He has a soul. He lives in a body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So when you're born again of the Spirit of God, the Spirit comes into your spirit. When Gabe was just a little guy back there in church and he gave his heart to the Lord, then his spirit was born again and it had the life of God in it. Now, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And the Bible says, after you've been born again, renew your mind with the Word, Romans 12, and present your body. Do something with the other two parts of you. So, Gabe, like a young guy, he grew up. I'm sure a lot depended on his parents, you know, and then he grew up and he got over into I don't know, somewhere along the line, I don't know whether it was college or where, he got into the flesh. His flesh became addicted to alcohol, but it had nothing to do with his spirit. His spirit was alive unto God, and so his spirit, of course, went straight up to heaven, and Cindy wrote in here, our most precious gift from God, Gabe Stewart, was taken from our lovely family to be in the heavenlies and watch down upon us as we complete this earth walk. Mm. And so we do know that Gabe was in heaven because his spirit had been born again. Bless the Lord. And she ends this with saying, life will never be the same without our little Gabe. But we do know that heaven is a much brighter place with him there. Mm. And so I want to make it clear that that he was born again, you know, and we know where he is.
Praise God.
And so we're talking about that generation. We're talking about at his memorial service. I looked down there as the first several rows were filled with his fraternity brothers, and they were so handsome in their dark suits, and they had come to honor him. Some were pallbearers. Some spoke a little bit and gave insights into Gabe's life. And I looked over there at them, and I looked all around, to tell you the truth. The bleachers in that Oklahoma Christian School gymnasium in Edmond were filled with young people. And I thought, wow, Satan's after them all.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And his dad knew that, and his mother knows that. And so we're going after them.
Praise God.
And we're going after them in two ways. And on these broadcasts that we're having this week, there are two words there are actually five words that are translated power in the King James Greek of the New Testament. But we're going to look at two of them. One of them is dunamis, and that's inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have the English words dynamics and dynamo, etc., dynamite. And it's this power that goes and a strong, he defines it as miracle working power. And then the word exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, it's authority. It means authority or delegated power. Strong says also it means jurisdiction. Now, both of those words are used in one Greek text here, Luke 10:17. So I'm going to begin reading here with Luke 10, 17. It's actually the 19th verse that has both words. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know, Satan had led a war against God, but he had been defeated and fell. And Jesus saw it. And he said, then in the next verse, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But actually, those two words, power, are different Greek words. Hmm. And the first one is authority, and the second one is dunamis, that dynamite power. So let's read it like it really should have read in the Greek. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't care how loud that devil comes around saying, puff, puff, I'm going to blow your house down. Yeah. You've got the authority to stop him from blowing your house down.
Amen.
You might not have the physical power to go out there and beat up on him, but Jesus already did that.
That's right. So, you got the name.
You got the name. You got the blood.
Right.
You got the words coming out
your
mouth.
God.
Now, I learned about the authority of the believer from Kenneth E. Hagin, where I was his editor of publications for 10 years. And his book is Believer's Authority, and I'm going to read you the foreword from his book. Back in the 1940s, I asked myself the question, do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? I had had little glimpses of spiritual authority once in a while. Like others, I had stumbled upon it and had exercised it without knowing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I wondered, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? So I began to study along this line, the line of authority, think along this line, feed along this line, and I began to see more and more light. An article in the Pentecostal Evangel prompted my study on the two words for power and authority. Then I came across a wonderful pamphlet entitled The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan, a missionary to China. As a result of my studies, I concluded that we, as a church, have authority on the earth that we've never yet realized, authority that we're not using. A few of us have barely gotten to the edge of that authority, but before Jesus comes again, there's going to be a whole company of believers who will rise up with the authority that is theirs. They will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended them to do. They will have knowledge of the authority, and then they will put it to use. Now, in here, he mentions that he came across these teachings of John A. McMillan. I got a telephone call one day from Jean Ann McNally. You know her. She's on our board. And she said, Billy, I found the book by John A. McMillan. And someone had put his pamphlets into a book, The Authority of the Believer. And he was also, as well as being a missionary to China, a missionary to the Philippines. He had had much contact with demons and authority over them. He knows what he's talking about. So this is what Brother Hagin read that helped him in his knowledge of the authority of the believer. Now, I'm going to read you the preface of... I read you the foreword of Brother Hagin's book. Here's the preface of McMillan's book. The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. The spread of an almost wholly secularized... He gives reasons why he thinks this has happened. Now, he died in 1956. No telling what he'd think by now.
McMillan did.
Yeah. But he wrote in here, there's going to be a tremendous increase in the activity of demons. And he said, the spread of an almost wholly secularized education is quietly doing away with the scriptural standards which formerly exerted a restraining influence among the so-called Christian peoples. He's given some reasons why he thinks this happened, and one is a secularized education. Mm-hmm. And he said, to meet this situation, the situation of these increase in demon activity, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see their and he calls it ministry in the heavenlies, to which they have been called. He says that we have a ministry in the heavenlies, and the church of God needs to yield to the Lord and recognize this ministry in the heavenlies. I'll read again what he said. To meet the situation, the church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see their ministry in the heavenlies to which they have been called. Such believers may, in union with the great head of the church, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged.
Praise God. Boy, that's good.
The Bible says it. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves to the devil, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He has to flee. It is written that he has to flee. The Bible is written, be sober, be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8, Gloria, on page 3 here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your authority, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Now, Mrs. C. Newsom writes, the price of constant victory is constant watchfulness. He's out there walking around seeing whom he may devour. But you can resist him, and he's got to flee from you.
What's he looking at? What's he doing? He's listening to what you're saying.
Absolutely.
He can't see in there.
No, he cannot see inside you. He cannot even read your mind.
He's listening to what you're saying. You're telling him what he can do.
You absolutely are, Gloria.
I never thought of that
before. Listen,
and
that was from heaven.
It gives me goosebumps. I know it was.
That was the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
yeah.
the Lord now who gave us that word. Lord, we
Somebody
recognize
write that,
that
down for us.
And we, I'm getting the same goosebumps. You call that a witness of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, Lord. He's watching us to hear what we say. And what we say gives him entrance into yeah. our lives. If you say,
Boy, I never have seen it that way, Billy, in my whole life.
Gloria, if you say your son's going to the devil, it yeah. gives the devil opportunity to get sure. in your son's life.
That's right. Opens the door.
Whew.
Our words open the door or close the
Ooh,
door.
Glory to God. Now, we talked about the two words that are translated power, exousia, which is authority, mm-hmm. dunamis. We talked about traffic policemen. They don't have the dunamis power to stop a semi-truck, but they've got the authority behind them. And I'm going to read to you again here from his book, Macmillan's book. There are few subjects relating to the Christian life concerning which there is so little exact knowledge as that of the authority of the believer. Now, that's what Billy Joe sees. He sees when these fathers came to him, my cousin, Gabe's mm-hmm. father, and they ask him, what can we do? He wants them to have knowledge of the authority of the believer. That's why we've started out this all out. Get the knowledge of the authority of the believer. We're going to have some authority of the believer conferences. We had one in Oklahoma City.
That's
We're going to have one in Houston. And Billy Joe and Cindy are going to go with us and give us Gabe's story.
Well, really, Ken and I were born again. But we didn't begin to walk in victory until we learned that we had authority over
authority
the devil.
Authority of the believer.
And that our words carried weight. That we opened the door or we shut the door to the devil according to what we said.
Absolutely.
Even though we were born again.
You did not. It's just like he says here. There are a few subjects relating to the Christian life concerning which there's so little exact knowledge. You didn't have knowledge of it.
No.
You had to get the knowledge of it. And he said, this is not because such authority is the property of only a few elect souls,
no,
like a
right.
great preacher or a great pope. He said, no, on the contrary, it is the possession of every true child of God.
Every born-again person.
Every born-again person. Its reception dates from the soul's contact with Calvary.
Yeah.
The moment you came in contact with Calvary, that's the moment you got control over, you got authority over the devil.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Probably, he writes, because of the extreme importance of a correct understanding of its privileges and responsibilities, the authority of the believer, and because the power which this confers on a believer, the enemy has specially sought to hold back this knowledge from God's people. It is one of his blinding tactics.
Well, yes, he cooked.
He does not want you to find out that you have got authority. What is authority?
Right.
Authority is delegated power.
Amen.
God has the power. He has the authority, and He gave it to you. In Matthew 28:18, after He had risen from the dead.
And the truth is, if you don't take it, it won't be taken.
It won't be taken.
The angels are not going to take it for
they
you.
They can't.
The Lord's not going to take it for you. It's
nope.
up to you.
Let's
you
start
take
there.
Authority.
Let's start there tomorrow, Gloria.
Okay.
Remind
All
me
right.
to do that.
All right.
Jesus met with the 11 in Galilee after He had been raised from the dead. And He said to them, all power, exousia, is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore.
Yeah.
Kenneth E. Hagin writes, when Christ ascended, He transferred His authority to the church. He is the head of the church, and believers make up the body. Christ's authority has to be perpetuated through His body, which is on the earth. Throughout Ephesians and elsewhere in the epistles, Paul uses the human body as an illustration of the body of Christ. Oh. He is the head. We are the body. Bless the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. We're going to be... I wish you would read before we come tomorrow. I wish you would read Ephesians 1, starting with verse 17, and going on to Ephesians 2, 6. And you find in there this prayer about the authority that we have, the authority of the believers. And so tomorrow, that's your assignment. This is school. We're going to get it.
Praise God.
And you're going to pass the test. That
Amen.
Devil comes and tries
that's
to
right.
get, tries to mess with you and mess with your family. You're gonna pass this test, and you're going to do it. Your grandchildren. So tomorrow, here's where we are. Here's where we take
okay.
that.
We will remember that. We'll get right back into it. It changes everything. I'm telling
oh,
you, everything in our life, bad. It had to bite the dust if we took authority over it. Sickness, disease. Ken and I, we're on up there in years, as I know you are. What am I, 74. I don't have any prescription drugs. I don't have any sickness. I don't have any pain. Why is that? Because of the authority of the believer, and that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried
and you know
my
it.
Diseases.
And
I
and
know
you
it.
Tell the devil about
That's
it.
That's right. And you need to find out what belongs to you and begin to walk in it, and you can walk free. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.